Guys, you're live. Little Joe Bagdo, come on, Steiny.
You're right. I've never played dominoes. I don't understand dice.
Shooting dice.
Liar's dice. We have the Yahtzee container. We got Barry. Thank goodness.
I'm going to get fired for laughing at the job, man.
All right. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Joining us right now, Dallas head Cowboys head football coach, 1994 to 97. He's got a Super Bowl ring, three national titles with Oklahoma. Barry, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
You bet. I'm glad to join you guys today.
All right. What was a bigger rivalry, Oklahoma, Nebraska, or Dallas, San Francisco? You lived through both of them.
Well, I tell you, the Nebraska-Oklahoma game wasn't much game for the people in Dallas or San Francisco, but it was big for us here in Oklahoma because it was always the Big 8 Conference Championship and who went to the Orange Bowl. And usually back in the day when I played Nebraska, we were usually playing for number one or number two in the country. We were the dominant football teams, us in Miami and Nebraska at that time. And those that got there we usually would win the national championship with playing in the Orange Bowl because it was the last game played of the year. But I know how important this game was when I was at the Cowboys because the 49ers and the Cowboys were the two dominant teams in college pro football at that time. And Jimmy and Jerry had put together a great group of athletes that I was fortunate to have there when I came to coach. And we tried to start a free agency. The year I came into the league, they started siphoning players off. We started losing players, but we still had the triplets, Aikman, Emmett, and Irvin, and a good offensive line and pretty good defense, and we were still a contender. But the game I remember of all my games with 49ers was obviously the one we played for the championship my first year there.
They didn't throw the flag!
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm telling you what, we spotted you 21 points in the first 5 minutes of the ball game, and Ricky Jackson, he catches a ball, he runs it back. Next pass, we hit Irvin on a post route, an 8 route for about 18 yards. Eric Pope reaches through his arms and knocks the ball out. Merlin Hank catches it on a bounce, one bounce, runs in the end zone. We're down 14 to nothing. Then they kick off to us, and Kevin Williams gets the ball in the end zone, runs it up our sidelines, and fumbles a damn ball at the 32-yard line. And then you take a 7-play drive, and Steve Young, they put it in the end zone, and we're down 21 to nothing in the first 5 minutes. You know what you say to a team when you're down 21 to nothing in the first 5 minutes of the game? You know what you say to them?
What?
You call them all up and you put a smile on your face. You know what you say? I remember looking at Nate Newton, all his offensive line. Hey, guys, you know what's great about being down 21 to nothing in the first 5 minutes of this game? You know what's great about it? You know what? They thought I was nuts. I said, you know, 5 minutes to go in the game, might as well get on the bus. But we had 55 minutes. And you know what we did? We got back 21-14 in the first half. And I kicked myself in the butt all the way to the locker room because I told Ernie, we got the ball back with about a minute and 15 seconds to go in the first half. We're down only. We gained some momentum. We scored the last two drives. We had 80 yards drives to score. And I tell Ernie Zampezi, my offensive coordinator, run them at three downs in a row. If we don't make a first down, we'll punt the ball, and there ain't going to be any time left on the clock. And I tell you, he talks to me, and he says, oh, Coach, we just scored. Let's go get 3 points. We can score. We'll get some points. You let me go for it. I let him talk me into going for it. We threw three incomplete passes. We punt the ball away, and then you hit Jerry Rice on a fingertip catch right going out of the end zone right before the half. No time left on the clock. And we go to the locker room down now, 28-14. You knew what to do. Your gut told you exactly what to do, but you let your offensive coordinator talk you into this. But I'm telling you what, I was so damn much. Ernie wouldn't look at me at halftime. I promise I looked over at him. He's ducking and dodging. But, that was a killer right there. But anyway, you know, you don't come back from 21 to nothing down when you spot that to San Francisco 49ers back in that era. You know, that was a killer. But anyway, it was a great, next year you got bumped off, knocked off by somebody. Before we won the championship and we go to the Super Bowl, we beat Pittsburgh for the championship the next year, Super Bowl. But you lost to someone. I forgot that year. It was kind of an upset.
Was it Green Bay?
Upset. Well, we beat Green Bay that year. We beat Green Bay to go win the championship to go to the Super Bowl. Ew. No, we beat Green Bay. And I don't know who y'all lost to.
Well, the Niners beat they beat the Chargers in 94. Remember, that's when they got theirs after beating you guys in that game that you talk about.
Yeah, but anybody's going to beat the Chargers. Nothing. The Super Bowl was played that day in San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
We already hung half 100 on the damn Chargers earlier in the year, so anybody's going to beat their ass for the Super Bowl. You know that. But anyway, it was two good teams. Both of us had great teams, and it was how the game was played. You make the few mistakes, you're probably gonna win the damn game, and they did because we made the most mistakes. But anyway, it was a good run back in.
Hey, Barry, it's always great talking to a living legend. Let me ask you a question about your friend and your former boss, because what's sad from a Cowboy fan standpoint is the Cowboys have not been to the great Super Bowl, Barry, nor the NFC Championship since you've taken them. What's going on? Is Jerry in his own way? Can you do the owner GM thing? Because they've had players, but how can the star not have been back in almost 35 years, man?
Let me tell you something. The media beats up on Jerry all the damn time about this, but I'm going to tell you something. Jerry never interfered with us. He never got in the huddle. He never called a play. He was never defensive staff meeting. He was setting the defensive game plan or offensive game plan. He didn't get involved in that. He got involved in the draft. That was all his thing in free agency. But he didn't get involved in the analytical part of the game. And he gets beat up on that. But he didn't. And I coached Jerry in college. Jerry played at Arkansas. I was a coach at Arkansas. I knew Jerry extremely well because he made his first fortune in the oil and gas business here in Oklahoma, and I was the head coach at Oklahoma for years. And I socialized with him. I knew the guy. I loved him. He was great to me. And media likes to beat up on people. And they beat up on my ass when I went down there. The media did. And because why? Because I coached in Oklahoma and I beat Texas ass every damn year in the Cotton Bowl. So half the riders down there didn't like my ass anyway because they went to Texas. They were all for Texas. But anyway, it was a time that we were really good and we were dominant. But things have happened, free agency and draft, and they just hadn't been able to get it done. And I don't know. I can't give you the answers. I don't live in their house. I've always people ask me things about the Cowboys and other programs. I tell you, until you live there, you know what goes on. That's the only way you know is you got to live in the house before you can tell you what goes on in the house.
Barry Switzer joining us on 95.7 The Game. Barry, you were, they always talk about in pro sports when a college coach goes to the pros and how challenging it is or it was. How challenging was it? What was the biggest difference between Oklahoma and coaching the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, let me tell you, football is football. You got 11 players out there, and the college game's probably got not as good as I had a lot of first round draft choices. Now I had a lot of good players at Oklahoma. That's why we won a lot of ball games, but a lot of championships. But I'm gonna tell you, the pro games is the best of the best. You got guys there, but the game is still the same way. Mm. You just got more time to spend with them. The game is no different. You prepare the same way. Everybody gets ready mentally and physically to play the game, but psychologically it's the same things. Played from the neck up and getting ready to play. It's the team that makes the fewest mistakes and usually wins the ball game. The same things win for you in college that does the pro game. But people make more out of it than should be. It's not that much difference in the game. In fact, pro football is easier than the college game. Mm. College really is, because in pro football you get to coach. That's all you do is coach football. You meet, you prepare, right, and all that. Hey, college, you're spending more time with the kids off the field and doing things with them and chow hall and things like that, getting to know them and preparing them for the future. They're 17, 18 year old kids. You're doing more that way and helping them go to class, get their assignments, study hall. All these things are involved. It makes it a hell of a lot harder. But pro football is nothing but football, and we spent a lot of time at that. And college coaches do the same thing. Hell, we meet till 2 o'clock in the morning too. And you look at the game today. I'm going to tell you what, most every pro team today has got college guys coaching it. You know, they've all been in college. And shit, so there's not anything different. College coaches are good. Pro coaches are good. They've all coached the game. And, you know, and it's usually who the best players are and who plays the game the better than the other one does when they play. Team that makes a few mistakes usually wins the damn thing.
Man, Barry, I hear you talking. Let's talk about what you specialize in, coaching. Out here, we got I call him the great Kyle Shanahan. Four straight NFC championship games, two Super Bowl losses. I feel like they should have won. They didn't, Barry. But fan is short for fanatic. We got people calling the show, and they want change. And I'm like, are you crazy?
You're crazy, Jake.
Okay,
yeah,
talk to us about that. Coach. When you get close and try to get over.
He's a hell of a football coach. Done a great job. You know, let me tell you. You know who Mike Shanahan is, Daddy?
Yeah.
Coached for me. I gave him his first college job. He came out of Eastern Illinois. He was a wishbone quarterback in high school. I hired him back in the 70s to coach for mid 70s. He was on my staff, Mike Shanahan. In fact, we won the national championship in 74-75 back to back. We had our 50th anniversary, and Mike Shanahan came back for that. And came back and spent time with because he was on that coaching staff back then. So he came back to visit with all those guys. So, no, these guys, my Kyle Shanahan is a great coach, and I give it to him. And don't beat up on him. I tell you what, we saw how the Lions game was lost and all that. But, man, I remember it too. So, anyway, when you get down there, both teams are pretty damn equal, you know, when you play. And here it comes down to the mistakes that are made.
Barry, go ahead. You still watching? Like, do you watch the Cowboys every week?
No.
You got better things.
No, I watch it. It hurts too much.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you sound great.
Yeah,
you sound like you're still the same old Barry Switzer. You know, grew up with in a way.
I'm only 87.
I know. I wasn't going to mention that.
Sound good, baby.
Hey, who are you still close to that you either coached against or somebody now?
I mean, for young guys. I'm fortunate to still be healthy and still being able to get around okay. And I got my mind and. The guys I played with called me every other day and asked me the same damn question they asked me the day before. But I handled the same way, answered the same way. But, you know, I've just been lucky and everything's worked out for me and hope it continues to.
Let me ask you a quick question. We got two quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, who a lot of people are down on, gotten paid twice in Dallas, 8 years, no championship game visits. And then you got Mr. Irrelevant, Barry, comes out of nowhere, taking his team to the Super Bowl, a couple NFC championship games. Who's got the edge this Sunday night when it comes to the two quarterbacks?
Well, you know, I liked Brock when I saw him play at Iowa State. I saw him play his career here at Oklahoma. I mean, at Oklahoma, I got to see Iowa State play. And I thought he's a hell of a quarterback then. He was I was shocked he was drafted that low. Mm. I really was because I saw the guy play. And hadn't he proven to everybody, when he just shows up right away, he's better than everybody said he was, right?
Yeah.
Drafted without a doubt. And that's what I thought from the beginning. I said, hey, they made a mistake on this guy. I've seen that they make it on other guys, too. But anyway, Dak is taking a lot of heat and still going to take a lot of heat. He's paid a lot of money. I think if he hadn't been paid as much, no one would give a damn. But they paid a lot of money to keep this guy, and that's why he catches so much heat because the performance level is not equal to what he's paid. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, Brock Purdy right now is making $1 million. I think if he gets paid $50 million next year, people are going to look at him differently.
No, hell yeah, they will.
Hey, Barry, let me ask you this. Do you think the game is being officiated soft? I know in your era it was different, but for me, I tell my partner all day, I just cry. Like, there's too many damn flags.
Well, you know, there are flags, and we look at them. And the ones that bother me are the ones that an offensive player puts his head in position to have a helmet tackle-to-tackle situation. And it is not intentional. the too damn many calls like that, and the referees go with the damn against the defensive player. The damn defensive player is always going to have his head lower than the offensive player. Right. The offensive player always puts his head down at the last second to butt into the guy or run tough on him, and he puts his head in position to get them drilled by headgear to headgear. And I just bothers me about that call right there.
Hey, Barry, real quick, the last week Jerry Jones was doing an interview with a flagship station, and he got a little upset, and he said, you know what, I'll get some other guys in here to ask these damn questions. What was your relationship like with the media when you were both in Dallas and Oklahoma?
Mine was horrible with the media. A few guys were fair to me, and I was, when I first got there, I always told them, I know half you guys are against me and half of you might be for me. But just all I ask you to be fair, and I'll be fair to you guys. But I know the ones that are against me, and I remember that because I coached. I was in the Cotton Bowl every year playing Texas.
Right.
Every year for 25 years now, guys. So I know who was pulling against me, who wrote the bad stories, who wrote the negative things. And I knew the same writers, really. The same writers write pro football, too. So anyway, I knew who the good guys were, and I appreciated those guys, and I treated them fairly. And I treated everybody fairly, but when you told me you're not a good guy to me, piss on you. I don't have anything to do with you.
Hey, Barry, thanks so much, man, for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. If you watch the game on Sunday, I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, I will, sir. Enjoy being with you guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Barry Switzer, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line.
Sounding relaxed and as vibrant as all outdoors, man.